As you look at what's happening in our world, as you look at what has transpired in the last days, last few days, and the last few weeks, it is obvious that we are living today in uncertain times, is it not? We're living today in times where our economy is uncertain. Do you want to tell me what's going to happen with our economy? You can't do it. You want to tell me how this rescue bill is going to rescue us? It's hard to figure that out. We're living in uncertain times where some of us are concerned about our jobs. Some of us are concerned about our paychecks. Some of us are concerned whether we're going to be able to keep our jobs. Maybe some of us are concerned whether we're even going to be able to find a job. We are living in uncertain times. We have two men who are running for president. Right now, it's uncertain who's going to win. But even after one is elected, at least for me, I'm uncertain what either one of them would do once they got in the office. We're living in uncertain times. All around us are uncertainties. You drive down I-95 and you wonder, when are they ever going to finish this construction? We're living in uncertain times. You go home and watch football today and you're going to wonder, are the Dolphins going to win more than one game this season? We're living in uncertain times. From our economy, to the politics around us, to everything that's involved in our life, there are uncertainties. And I don't know about you, but I'm tired of uncertainties. I'm one of those people that likes to know what's going to happen and when it's going to happen. If the Lord would just tell me what day He was going to come back, I'd put it on my calendar. That way there wouldn't be any uncertainties. I like things laid out in a certain way, and I don't like uncertainties. What I like about the passage that was read from 2 Timothy chapter 1, especially in verse 12, is that with Paul, there were no uncertainties. What I want us to focus on, especially today, is what we see in verse 12, and that is the certainty that you and I can have. Even in the midst of all of these uncertain times that are around us, I want us this morning to leave here more impressed and more determined and more having a realization that we can have certainty as a Christian. Our world might be filled with uncertainties, but as Christians, you and I can have certainty in our life. And I want us to focus on verse 12. If you don't have your Bibles already there, look in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, and we're going to notice four things that Paul says in this passage. You notice in the context, in verse 8 and in verse 12, you have the word ashamed. He tells Timothy in verse 8, don't you be ashamed of me, don't you be ashamed of my chains, don't you be ashamed of being a Christian. And he goes down and talks about all that had transpired and what was going on in his life. And Paul talks about in verse 11, how that God had appointed him to be a preacher, an apostle, a teacher of the gospel. And he tells us in verse 12, because of these things, because God had appointed him to be a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the gospel, because of these things, Paul says that he was suffering. And yet Paul says, I am not ashamed. How is it that the apostle Paul could be going through all of this persecution, could be going through all of this suffering, be going through this suffering because he was called by God to be a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the gospel, and yet be suffering all of these things and to be say with certainty, I am not ashamed. How can he say that? It's because of the rest of verse 12. There's four things in this verse that I want us to base our faith upon. That I want us to base our certainty as a Christian upon. The very first thing that Paul says is that I know whom I have believed. I want you to think about the certainty that Paul had. Paul says, I know who I have believed. Notice that Paul uses the word know and the word believed together. To Paul, belief was not just a hope. To Paul, belief was not just some wish. To Paul, belief or faith was not just a leap in the dark, saying, well, I hope there really is a God. It wasn't just a good guess for Paul. And like for some people today, believing in God and believing in Christ for Paul was not his backup plan. It was not his plan, well, you know, in case there is a God, I want to make sure I believe in Him. In case there really is a Son of God, I want to make sure I believe in Him just to make sure I've got all my bases covered. Believing was more than that to Paul. He took knowledge and he took faith and he put them right there together in the same sentence to say, I know whom I have believed. The word know here, there's another word know that's used in the New Testament that just talks about a knowledge that someone has, that they know certain facts. But that's not here in this passage. The word know here indicates a fullness of knowledge. It was not just a wish. It was not just a hope. Paul had a certainty to his faith. Paul had a confidence to his faith that was unwavering. And when Paul looked at his faith in God, he didn't just say, I believe there is a God. Paul says, I know whom I have believed. There is a God. And Paul was confident of the fact that God existed. And Paul recognized that the evidence for God and His existence, he knew it was overwhelming. As you look at the world around us, as you look at the earth upon which you live, the earth upon which we live has overwhelming evidence for the existence of God. You cannot look at some of these things. You cannot honestly examine some of these things without recognition that there is a God. When you begin looking at the perfect distance that this earth is from the sun, the perfect relation that it has to the moon, you begin looking at the orbit of this earth, you begin looking at the rotation of this earth, you begin looking at the tilt on its axis of this earth, you begin looking at the water that covers this earth, the atmospheric pressure, that you look at all of the things that make up the globe, the earth upon which we live, and the evidence is overwhelming that there is a God. The heavens declare, they're shouting the glory of God. The firmament shows His handiwork. You have to have help to believe that there is not a God. You have to have help to believe that all of this evidence and all of this design around us shows that there is not a designer. But it's not just the earth upon which we live, it's the body in which you're dwelling. You look at your body, and we won't talk about all of these systems that are involved in our bodies, but you look at your body and you look at the makeup of your body, and it's perfect. You look at all the systems that make up your body. Could that happen by accident? You have to have help to be led to believe that your body happened by accident. Paul says, I know whom I have believed. There was no question in Paul's mind in whom he had placed his faith. But for Paul and for us, it is not just a belief in a higher power. It is not just a belief in, well, yeah, there is a God out there. It is not just a belief in intelligent design. It's not just a belief that there is an intelligent designer. It's more than just looking at design and saying, yes, there must be a designer. For Paul, it was more than just some random designer and more than just some random God. For Paul, he believed in the one God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 4, the Bible uses that word know. And it says that we can know that there is one God, and we can know that there is no other God. Back in the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 4, it uses that word know. It absolutely gives confirmation and affirmation. Using the word know, that there is the God in heaven above and on earth beneath, and we can know that there is no other God that exists. In John chapter 17 and verse 3, Jesus uses the word know to talk about not just knowing a God, not just knowing a designer. Jesus says, you can know the one true God. Folks, that ought to give us certainty that we're not just serving, we're not just believing in, we're not just hoping in some God out there. That we're not just affirming that there is some intelligent designer that put this world together. But in the world that we live in the midst of these uncertain times, you and I can have certainty that we know, we believe in, and we serve the one true God. Do you believe that? Do you know that? Does that give you confidence to live life? Does that give you assurance to go throughout life in the midst of all of these uncertainties and to know without a doubt, certainly, that there is a God and I know Him and I know Him in whom I have placed my faith. But Paul doesn't stop there. Paul says, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able. Take that phrase for just a moment. Take it out of looking at God, and I want you to look at man. Look at mankind. Look at our nation. Who do you believe today is able? Who do you believe today is able? Do you believe Congress is able? Not according to the polls. Most people don't believe they're able. Do you believe the president is able? Do you believe that John McCain is able? Do you believe that Barack Obama is able? Do you believe that anybody is able? It's a funny thing, when you start trying to pick somebody who is able, you start finding all kind of flaws, don't you? Paul said, I know whom I have believed. And Paul says, I am persuaded that while I live in uncertain times, and that while I'm surrounded by people who are not able, I'm persuaded that He is able. The Bible tells us that by His words, God created everything. The Bible tells us by His words that God is sustaining or upholding everything. By His words. By His desires, everything came into existence and everything is being sustained. And so the Bible uses phrases to say that with God, all things are possible. With God, nothing will be impossible. At least two times in the Old Testament, it is said that there is nothing too hard for the Lord. Do you believe that? Are you fully persuaded that God is able? Are you fully persuaded in the midst of uncertain times? Do you have certainty that the God who you believe in, whom you have placed your faith in, are you persuaded that He is able to do anything? That nothing is too hard for Him? When you look in your life, do you believe that God is able in your life? You look at what you're dealing with. You look at what you're going through. You look at the trials and the struggles that you're dealing with right now. You look at the weaknesses that you have right now. Do you believe? Are you persuaded that God is able in your life right now? We could put hundreds, if not thousands, of examples on the screen. But let these five suffice. Do you believe God is able in your life? There was a righteous man dwelling in the cesspool of Sodom. and God delivered him out. Are you living in a cesspool? Could this nation, could this society that we're living in be described as a cesspool? In many ways it could. Do you believe that God can deliver you out of this? You look at those Israelites as they left Egypt and they're coming up to the Red Sea, and whoa, what are we going to do? They get to the Red Sea and there's water in front of them, and who's coming up behind them but their enemy trying to pursue them and kill them? What are we going to do? Do you believe in, are you persuaded that the God who parted that Red Sea so that His people could cross on dry ground, are you persuaded He's able in your life too? Are you persuaded that He is able to deliver you out of the enemy's hands? Are you persuaded that He's able to deliver you out of an unrighteous and ungodly nation? Are you like David in recognition that here was boy David, and yet God gave him the strength? Are you feeling weak right now? Here's God giving David strength to kill a lion and a bear. Where did he get that strength? Are you persuaded that God is able in your life? You think about all the trials, all the temptations that are coming into your life, and it's like Satan has got the fire burning. It's like Satan not only has the fire burning, but he's like that king in Daniel chapter 3 that turned up the furnace 7 times hotter than it normally was heated and threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into that furnace. Do you feel like you're in that furnace sometimes? Do you feel like you're surrounded by fire all the time? Do you feel like you are being tried on every hand? Do you believe? Are you persuaded that the God who cooled that furnace for those boys, are you believe He can take care of the fire that's surrounding you? Do you believe that? We're living in an uncertain world. We're living in uncertain times. And if we sit back and say, well, I don't know. I don't know if God can really do that. What kind of certainty is that bringing to your life? Same God who raised Jesus from the dead is the same God who has promised to raise us from the dead. Same God who has promised us eternal life. Are you fully persuaded that God is able in your life? You see, there is nobody on this earth, there is nobody who is able like God is able. You look at people in your life, and unfortunately, people are going to be people. Isn't that true? People are going to be people. People are going to let you down. People are going to disappoint you. And when we say people, that's everybody. Our politicians are going to let us down. They're going to disappoint us. They're going to destroy trust. Our families are going to let us down. Our friends are going to disappoint us. Even some who may be close to us will destroy trust that we have between each other. If we put our faith, if we are persuaded that everybody around us is able, if we put all of our trust in people, that trust and that faith is going to be destroyed. People let us down all the time, but not God. Everybody in your life has the potential to disappoint you, but not God. You can count on God because God is able. And He's not just able. One of my favorite verses is Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. The Bible says that God is able to do what? To do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. Is God able? There's no question He's able. With Him all things are possible. Is He able? There's no question He's able to do more than you and I can even fathom, that we can even think. God's able. But it's not only that God is able, God will do it. You know, somebody might have the potential to do something and never do it. Somebody might have the ability to do something and never do it. God is able and God will do it. That's what 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 24 says, but that's what's said in Numbers chapter 23. The questions asked in Numbers 23 are, has He not said? Will He not do it? Has He not spoken? Will He not make it good? God has told us He'll do something. And you and I can take it to the bank. God has told us He will do something, and you and I can have full confidence in God that nobody is able like God is able in your life. I wish we had time to look at these six things, but I want you to think about what God is able to do in your life. And again, we could come up with hundreds of things to talk about. When you think about God in your life, God is able to do whatever you ask. Do you have that faith? The petitions that we ask of Him in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 15, the Bible says that God is able to give us the petitions that we ask Him. Obviously, James chapter 1 says that they need to be asked according to His will. But do you believe that? That God is able. The Bible says that God is able to save to the uttermost. It doesn't matter what you've done, God is able to save you. God is able, in whatever the circumstances, to work out everything in our life for good. To work all things together for our good. Do you believe that? The Bible doesn't tell us how. The Bible doesn't tell us when. The Bible just tells us that He's going to do it. Are you persuaded that He is able to do that? Are you persuaded that God is able, no matter what happens in our economy, no matter what happens to your personal finances, are you persuaded that God is able, in 2 Corinthians 9, to make all grace abound towards you? Are you persuaded that God is going to take care of you? Are you persuaded that no matter what temptations you get involved in, that God is able to aid those who are facing temptations? Are you persuaded, the little book of Jude says in verse 24, are you persuaded that God is able to keep us from stumbling and to present us faultless before God? Are you persuaded? When Paul looked at his faith in God, he said, I know whom I have believed. There's no question in God. There's no question that God exists. There's no question. Jesus is His Son. I believe it and I know it. And he says, I'm persuaded that God is able. In the midst of the uncertain times in which we live, this is the kind of certainty that you and I need. That He is able. But notice the third thing that Paul says. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep what I have committed unto Him. God is able to keep what I have committed unto Him. God is the guard. He's the keeper. He's the protector. If you were going to make an investment, talking about living in uncertain times, anybody who's made investments, what's happened to your investments in recent days and weeks? Have you had any sure and certain investments? Have you had any investments in the last few days, weeks, and months that you have had 100% confidence nothing would happen to them? If you were going to make an investment, would you want anybody other than God guarding it? If you're going to make the most important investment of your life, can you name someone other than God who you would want guarding it? We'll look in John chapter 10 in just a minute, but in that passage Jesus says that God is greater than all. You want somebody protecting an investment you have made? How about God, who is able to keep what I have committed? The idea of keeping what I have committed, that was a banking term in those days that had the idea of depositing something. And so the confidence was that He's able to keep what I deposit. Have you made a deposit with God lately? Have you made a deposit with God? The New American Standard uses the word entrust. It's someone that we entrust something to. Who do you entrust things to in this life? Who is there in this life that you are willing to hand something over to, entrust it to them, no questions asked? 100% full confidence, I am entrusting this person with these things, and I have full confidence that they will keep them, that they will guard them, that they will protect them. You go back to that last point. There's going to be people that disappoint. There's going to be people that let you down. There's going to be investment firms that don't always live up to expectations. But when I make a deposit with God, when I make an investment with God, He is able to secure it. He's able to keep it. What kind of deposits am I making? The Bible talks about the fact that I am to lose my life in God's hands. Have you invested? Have you deposited not parts of your life, not the Sunday morning parts of your life, not a few parts of your life? Have you taken the entirety of your life and deposited it into God's hands? 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 19 says that we are to deposit, commit our souls unto God. The part of us that will live for eternity, our spirit, our soul. Have you taken that and 100% placed it into the hands of God? There's no one who will keep it better than Him. How secure is it? That passage from John chapter 10, Jesus says in John chapter 10 and verse 29, how secure is your deposit? When you commit and invest your life in God, how secure is it? No one, Jesus says, is able to snatch them out of the hand of the Father. I don't care how powerful Satan is. If you will commit your life unto God and deposit your life, your soul, into God's hands, Jesus says, no one can snatch you out of the Father's hands except for you. If you want to snatch yourself out, if you want to remove yourself from God's hands and go elsewhere, that's up to you, but nobody else has that power. That's how secure your investment is with God. We live in uncertain times. There's not any investments that you can make where you can feel good knowing with certainty that they're going to be secure, except for this one. You can know with absolute certainty that God is able to keep what you commit unto Him. And the fourth and final point, he says, is until that day. There's a day coming. There's a day coming that God has in mind where your investment will reach maturity. The day is coming where God is going to reward you for the investment. He's going to give it back to you with interest, perhaps, and then some. He's going to reward you beyond measure. Tim Fry told me before worship this morning that if I would give him $100,000, there's a lot of funny things about that, but if I would give him $100,000, that he could guarantee me a 7% increase, and over, 32 years, Tim, I'd be a millionaire. The only thing I'm lacking is the $100,000, but besides that, in the 32 years, I could be a millionaire. There's an investment. There's a period of time. And 32 years from this day, I could be a millionaire. There's a day that I could put on my calendar. God says, I've got you even one better than that. There is a day that is coming. And only God knows when that day is. That the investment that you make of your life into His hands will be rewarded more than you can even fathom. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? You look at your life, and if you are a faithful, committed, and think about what we've mentioned about that word, a committed, someone who's committed their life unto the Lord, New Testament Christian, then you can approach life with absolute certainty that if I will invest, deposit my life into the hands of God, He will give me eternal life. If I will invest or deposit my soul, He's going to give me a home of the soul. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1 talks about a building, a house not made with hands that's eternal in the heavens. If I commit my soul unto Him, He's going to give me a home of the soul. If I commit my eternity unto Him, He's going to give me eternal life. In the days of uncertainty in which we live, you can't have this kind of guarantee from anyone except from God. This morning, do you know whom you believe? This morning, are you persuaded that God is able in your life? This morning, are you persuaded that He is able to keep what you have committed into His hands and to keep it until that day? There are a lot of uncertainties around us. But you read 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. And God tells us we can have absolute certainty as a Christian that we're on the right path. As you read your Bible, there are a lot of certainties that God gives to us, more than the few that we have talked about this morning. And so tonight I want you to come back and I want us to talk even more about more certainties in the Bible. We have all of these uncertainties around us, and I'm tired of all of these uncertainties. I'm ready to know what I can have certain in my life. So tonight I want us to talk about more certainties that we can have in uncertain times. And I want your help. I want you to go home today and I want you to write down on a card, not a piece of paper, not a poster, not a banner, on a card, the number one certainty that you have in your life that God has given to you. And if you want to push the limits, you can make it two, but don't push it any further than that, Gorman. Just two would be the max. The number one, or even the top two certainties that you have as a Christian given to you by God. Come back tonight, give me that card before worship starts, and we'll talk about the certainties that we have from God. We're going to go this week and we're going to hear even more about this economic plan. We're going to go for the next month, and I wish it wasn't a whole month, but we're going to go the next month hearing all of these promises from these presidential candidates. And this next month, next days, and depending on what happens with the economy, who knows how long, we're going to be filled with uncertainties. Let's take our eyes off of these things. Let's not put our treasure on this earth. Let's do what Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, and let's set our minds on things above, not on things of this earth. If we set our minds on the uncertainties of this earth, we are going to be one miserable person. But if we'll set, fix, and cement our minds on things above, we can be more certain and more joyous than anybody who's around us. As you look at your life, I ask you this morning to be certain that you are saved. Are you certain? The certainties that Paul talked about in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12 are certainties that are enjoyed by Christians, by those who have been saved. Are you certain this morning that you are saved? Do you believe with all of your heart that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that? Do you know in whom you have believed? Do you believe He's the Son of God? Are you this morning willing to repent, to turn away from the wrong that is in your life? You serve sin and you serve Satan. There's a lot of uncertainties that are going to come to your life. But if you serve God, there are so many certainties and so many promises that He makes. You can take them to the bank. You can make that deposit with God and have confidence that He's going to come through. Are you willing this morning to turn away from the wrong in your life, from serving sin, and say, I want to serve God? If you'll make that decision this morning, then this very day you can confess the faith, the confidence that's in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, and you can be baptized just like they were in Bible times, just like they were in the New Testament, immersed in water. doing that just like they did in the New Testament in order that every sin you've ever committed can be washed away. Every sin can be washed away. God can add you to His church as He adds every saved person to His church. And then He will write your name, record it there in heaven itself. Are you certain that you are saved? Are you certain that you have followed the Bible, God's plan of salvation, not man's plan? God's plan of salvation. Are you certain that you are saved? And if you have been saved, are you certain that you're living faithfully? Certain that you have committed your soul into the hands of God? As you leave here today, don't leave with any uncertainties about your life. The one uncertainty that God leaves us is when our life will be over. Your life is but a vapor. That part is uncertain. Your life appears for a while and then vanishes away. You do not know when your life will end. Jesus talked about when the Lord would return, and He says, no man knows, only the Father knows. That's the only uncertainty that He's left us, is when this life will be over or when the Lord will return. Make sure when you leave here today that you're absolutely certain that you're saved and absolutely certain that you're ready for the Lord to return. If we can help you in any way, come as together we stand and sing.